Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Back there, your kids was out of school and everything, huh?
Oh my God,
cold weather is an understatement. Let me tell you, here in the ATL, well, I think it's pretty much all over the Midwest and in the South and over on the East Coast. But tomorrow, we're getting Arctic winds, and actually later on tonight, and the high or the temperature when we wake up tomorrow morning when the kids go to school, if they go to school, will be a freezing 12 degrees. And
wow.
With the wind chill factor, it's going to feel like it's minus 5 degrees. And I feel like I'm back in Wisconsin, Derek.
Isn't that incredible? This is like some record lows for Atlanta, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Atlanta has never been that low. I mean, I remember when I was there for the year and 3 months or however long I was there, it got cold. But, I mean, I'm thinking it would only – I think the lowest it got when I was there was about like 25, 30 degrees. I thought that was too cold, you know?
Yeah. It's pretty nippy. We went to the gym this morning, and let me tell you, it was a hurry up, no talking, get in the gym and back out. You know, get the workout in and back out. So I am broadcasting from home today. I am limiting my outside activity. So the dogs are actually at daycare. They're at doggy daycare. Yes, I take my dogs to doggy daycare. But, you know, we still have our little princess here. So I'm putting in my disclaimer now in case anyone hears a princess coming. I think barking. I think we're safe as long as the mailman doesn't come or nobody knocks on the door. So if you hear princess barking, it's just because she wants to be a part of the show today.
Right. I hear you. Well, I ain't trying to rub it in or nothing on anybody, because I know my daughter, as a matter of fact, she posted something on Facebook about where she and her boyfriend were driving from Columbia, Missouri to St. Louis, and on the highway it was kind of like crawl traffic. You know, supposedly everyone was going like 45 miles an hour, and she and her boyfriend were driving, and some guy comes flying by in a road rage kind of a thing and decided she was going too slow and darted and cut her off. And, of course, she was her visibility was lost because of the spraying of the snow up on her windshield and everything. And she lost control and went off the road and hit an embankment and wrecked the front of the car. So, you know, it's a bad thing. Yeah, you know, I mean, with bad weather and, you know, people are so rude and ignorant. That brings me to mind about this guy that, I don't know if you heard the story about this guy who did a road rage and killed this mother who was teaching her daughter how to drive in Vegas. Did you hear about that story?
I did hear about that, and actually that's a perfect segue into that story. Thank you, Derek. I wanted to talk about that today because, you know, you and I have talked about what, you know, reasons that people snap, and we've talked about road rage, and we've talked about, you know, the way people react sometimes to different things that happen on the road. But yes, I heard about the mom. I think she was a mom of four. And do you know the specifics of it? All I know is that it was a road rage case, and the guy came back and killed the mom.
Right. Well, you know, since we repeat ourselves every week, something transpires over the week from the last show, but something so crazy that you can not believe it, but, you know, like you say, you can believe it nowadays. Supposedly what happened was the mom was teaching her daughter how to drive to get her driver's license, I guess,
mm-hmm.
something to that effect. And evidently this guy and the mom or this daughter, I don't really know specifically which one the rage was with, whether it's mom or the daughter, but regardless, the guy and the mom or the daughter, whichever, got into some type of a road rage kind of a situation by the daughter maybe not doing her blinker or maybe not turning correctly or maybe making a mistake because, you know, she's learning. And the guy and them got into it on a road rage issue, and the guy followed the woman home. Now, this is something that's just, I mean, you know, they talked about, you know, this is something you don't do. You do not let anybody follow you home. You go to an undisclosed area, I mean, like in an area, like a shopping mall where there's lots of people and men, that kind of thing, but you don't go home. But he followed her home.
Mm-hmm.
He followed them home, rather. Or I don't know if it was the daughter's home or not, but she was actually followed home by this guy. And I don't know how far of a distance it was from where the actual road rage incident took place to the woman's home, but
mm-hmm.
she proceeded to go to her house, and I guess she got out of the car, and he got out of his car, and he shot her dead in her driveway.
Wow.
So crazy. I mean, what can you say about what is really going on in our world, you know?
Yeah, that's really, really strange. You know, what I found particularly, thank you for sharing it, Derek, what I found interesting in this particular story, like she went home, I guess, twice. And the first time she went home, it's my understanding, the first time she went home, she got her son, and her son came out to the car to go with her to find this guy. And the son had a weapon. And then when they found the guy or found each other or however that transpired, like you said, he followed her back to her house. I'm just wondering what possessed the mom to, you know, once she got home, to go back out and find this guy.
Wow, I had no idea. I didn't even hear that part. All I recall hearing was the initial, what I pretty much ran through on my end. I did not know that the woman, I mean, my thinking was that the guy road raged with her, followed her home at that point, and shot her. But now that you're shedding different light on it.
Yeah, she went, supposedly now, of course, we won't know exactly what happened until the police reports or whatever are made public or whatever. But supposedly, she, according to CNN, she went home, got her son, her 22-year-old son, and her son came out of the house with a firearm. They went, and evidently this guy was looking for her, too. But, you know, it's sad. It's really sad that a death had to result from a situation of road rage. And I just, you know, it sounds like the experience your daughter had with road rage, I'm so glad that it ended, you know, there was some damage done to her vehicle, it sounds like, but I'm so glad that it didn't get out of control, because these things can, you know, people snap. Like we've talked about on the show before, reasons that people snap, and people can, you know, it could be just a matter of having a bad day, or someone not taking or taking their medication. You know, for example, I don't know if you've been following the American Sniper case, but the situation with the veteran who killed Kyle is his last name, I believe, Christopher Kyle, I think is his name, the American Sniper, we'll call him the Legend. But the veteran who killed him, you know, it's hard to say whether he snapped or whether he was incompetent or insane, or whether it was a situation where it was premeditated. You know, some people are saying he just snapped and lost it and was out of it for a while. And then some people are saying, you know, that he knew exactly what he was doing. But it's, you know, you got to be careful these days. You can't take anything or anybody for granted.
Right. And he supposedly was under the influence of marijuana and alcohol as well. You know,
oh, really?
On top of every, yeah, I think with that American Sniper case, yeah, I'm thinking that they are saying that he also had smoked marijuana and drank before they went to this target range or firing range, wherever they were going. So that culminated with whatever else, you know, post-traumatic stress, you know, whatever. I mean, there was a lot of things all combined in that deal. So, yeah, you know, it's just like,
wow.
What? Yeah, you know, mind-boggling, and makes you speechless to even discuss and talk about things now. But that's why we're here. We're here to talk about it and try to make it better for others, as our listeners and callers, to help us see through some of this stuff for healing.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling, and it just, I don't know if you did. You have you seen the movie yet, Derek?
No, I haven't. No, as a matter of fact, Becky and I plan on going and seeing that this week. I told her that you had mentioned it was a great movie, and I've been hearing that it's a good movie, and it got all kinds of award nominations and stuff. So that was definitely going to be on our next one. You know, we try to do a movie every other week, and now that's one that we decided we were going to go try to check out possibly this weekend.
Yeah, it's a really good movie, and you know, it was. what was very interesting to me is, well, the entire movie was interesting, but I didn't know the story about the American Sniper, so I didn't know that he got killed. If you've been following the news, you know, so I'm not giving away the movie, you know that he gets killed, but I didn't realize, you know, I've been following the news lately, and I didn't realize, you know, that it was another veteran that killed him, and that's just such a sad thing. You know, this guy served his country and became an American hero, and then he died in the hands of another veteran. It's a sad story.
Yep. Hashtag moonwalking world. And it's
hashtag moonwalking world. Absolutely. So, you know, a couple of other things that we want to talk about today, Derek. We mentioned it briefly on the show last week, but I want to just talk a little bit about this situation with the gangbanger. I'm not giving him that name. This name was given to him by the author of this article, so I don't want anybody to think that I'm being stereotypical or judgmental. But this guy, a.k.a. a gangbanger, he's serving some time in prison. And while he's in prison, he gets 4 prison guards pregnant. Not 1, not 2, not even 3, Derek, but he gets 4 prison guards pregnant. What in the world is our society coming to?
Wow. Well, I guess they say, you know, if he can get away with stuff on the outside, and then, you know, they say when you get inside, you know, the corruptness doesn't stop there. And I guess this guy was obviously a pretty strong, headstrong or a strong type guy out on the streets, that when he got in there, he probably, you know, there's people that orchestrate killings outside of jail from inside the jail. You know, they tell somebody they want somebody killed, and they get killed outside the jail. So you think about that. So what makes you think that it would be any different if the guy's inside the jail? Man, you got, people can be corrupt no matter who they are. You got politicians, you got lawyers, you got people of all kinds of professions who are corrupt that'll do things. So, you know, prison guards. You know, I'm sure that they do their share of letting things happen to certain inmates that they have a grievance with, or, you know, it doesn't surprise me, Tasha. Like I say, nothing surprises me anymore. It really doesn't.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I just wonder, now, if you're a prison guard, first of all, male or female, it's one thing. You know, I have my own opinions about whether they should be mixed, you know, or whether it should be male guards with male inmates and females with female inmates. And in my opinion, that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be intertwined like that. That's just my opinion. But, you know, it's one thing to intertwine and intermingle, if you will, the sexes. But it's another thing for the guards to actually have, have sex with the inmates, and then on top of having sex, you have unprotected sex, and you wind up pregnant. Now, what in the world, are those baby mamas, if you will, what are they going to say to their children?
Well, I wouldn't want to be in the room for that when they get old enough to know and to try to explain that one, but after you presented this story to me to let me know this is what we're going to talk about, I just was thinking, wait a minute now, how did this happen? I mean,
yeah,
we know how it happened. I mean, but you got 4, like you say, not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4 prison guards, all impregnated by this same guy, and you know, I guess they all kept the babies, and you know, of course, you know, all 4 had to be unprotected for them to be pregnant, and unless, you know, they was using protection and it just wasn't working. I can't see that happening 4 times in a row. But,
right.
You know, what does that tell you about these prison guards? I mean, if they did that, who's to say what else they could do in the same scenario as being corrupt, you know? I mean, that would be a prison that I would not want anybody, or my even my worst enemies, to go to have to be a part of something, you know?
Right,
it doesn't seem
right.
Fair. It just doesn't seem fair. I mean, if they did that, just think what else they could be doing. You know, drugs, and I think that I think the story even went further to say about a bunch of other stuff of not, that didn't end to the corruptness going on. There's other things going on there other than these foreign pregnant situations, pregnancy situations, you know, with drugs and cell phones that weren't supposed to be, you know, contraband or whatever else. I mean, maybe you can say a little more. I'm vaguely remembering something like that in the story as well, Dr.
Yeah, it was something about that, Derek. I'm vaguely remembering it too, because I was focused on the ladies that got pregnant. But it was something about this gangbanger. He basically was running a ring, if you will, with cell phones and all kinds of, like, whatever you need in prison. I guess I'm learning now that whatever you need in prison, you can get. And it just blows my mind because, you know, another article, which is the other article I wanted to talk about, was the things that you can get away with in prison. When we talk about prison corruption, I saw an article on Facebook, on social media the other day, and it was talking about one of the inmates who posted on Facebook. And because of I think he posted on Facebook, it was either 6 or 8 times, posted a picture of himself and some other things. Do you know that in South Carolina, there is a law, and accessing social media in prison, Derek, is as bad of a crime as murder and rape? This young man got 37.5 years, which was more than his original sentence, because he was on social media while he was in prison. Can you believe that?
What?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't believe it, but I can believe it. You know, like I say, you know, the things that you seem like you most cannot believe are the things that you will believe nowadays, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to find that article right now, and I'm going to post it in the event room. But it's just a couple dynamics that stand out to me in that situation. Number one, the fact that there is even a law, and most people probably don't know about it. Number two, the fact that these inmates are able to access social media while they are in prison. And number three, you know, it's going back to the whole relationship between the guards and the inmates, because in order for them to access the social media and access the internet, they have to have a phone or a computer. In order for them to have a phone or a computer, they have to be Someone has to be working with a guard or two in the prison system to get this information, you know, in the prison. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, it has to be some by way, I mean, because they're supposed to be, I guess it varies from prison to prison, on how they're supposed to check for contraband and check for this and check for that, and maybe they do a half-over check on certain prisoners while they do full checks on others. So there's kind of like a favoritism thing going on there, I'm sure. But I would think that anything going on in the prison that shouldn't be going on, you know, I'm sure the guards are up on it, you know, on the most part. And I'm not going to say everyone, because there are probably some pretty smart criminals in there that can do stuff and get away with it without the prison guards knowing. But I'm thinking probably on an 80 percentile basis, those guards know. Or to know somewhat, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
it's absolutely.
It's crazy.
And they have to know. Somebody knows, and I would go so far as to say the warden knows, because they have to know, because in this particular, and I'm getting ready to post it on Facebook, but in this particular situation where the guy got 37 and a half years, Derek, the other interesting thing is not only did he get 37 and a half years, but he got 37 and a half years in solitary confinement.
What? Now that's one hard to believe. 37 years in solitary
confinement. So, you know, if anybody has any friends, cousins, relatives, anybody that you know that's in prison and you know that they're accessing the internet and social media, especially in South Carolina, because I'm not sure, you know, what other states have this law, but especially in South Carolina, because they definitely have this law. Let them know what the consequences are, because 9 times out of 10, they don't know that, well, they may or they may not know, you know, that they're breaking the law. But, you know, if I were in prison and I were facing, you know, another 30 plus years in solitary confinement for getting off social media, let me tell you, that would be the last thing on my mind.
Of course, you know, it wouldn't really matter to somebody who's already in there for life without possibility of parole. So, you know, what's another 37 years? You know, add 37 years on to life, you know.
Yeah, now something like that, if you're already doing life and you know, there's no chance that you're going to get out, then I could see you maybe taking that chance. But in this particular case, and I just posted it on Facebook there in the events page. But in this particular case, this guy got more time in solitary confinement for being on social media than he did have time originally. Hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? So his situation wasn't like that. Like he I can't remember how much time he had originally, but if you look at the article, it's probably in there, but you'll see that he got 37 and a half years, which was more than the original crime that he was in there for.
Mm.
In addition to that, he lost the good time that he had served. You know how they give you credit towards good time to I guess, buy down, if you will, for lack of better words, buy down some of the time.
But yeah, hopefully he had a good time on Facebook or whatever he was on.
I'm telling you.
That's where his
I'm
good time
you.
Came from. I got jokes. I got to have jokes to keep it from being too sad and serious. But yeah, you didn't get out on good time, but you had a good time while you was on Facebook.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, though, because, you know, I mean, was it worth it? Hopefully he was sending his cousin or his, maybe it was one of the prison guards he was trying to, I don't know, send somebody a message or something, very important message. So I don't know, but the corruption that exists in these prison systems is just beyond me. And what bothers me the most as a taxpayer is that our money, as taxpayers, we are paying for these individuals to be imprisoned. And now we could go round and round about why they're in prison and the vicious cycle and all of that. You know, we've talked about the high number of blacks in prison. We've talked about that on the show before. So I'm not negating that at all. We know that is a very serious issue. But when it comes to the corruption that's going on in the prison system, you know, as a taxpayer, it bothers me to know that someone is serving time and is supposed to be being rehabilitated and, you know, being, I guess, for lack of better words, being, I guess, readjusted, if you will, to get back out into society and to make a positive contribution to society when they get out of prison. So it bothers me as a taxpayer to know that our money is being spent on a prisoner who is having sex with the guards, impregnating the guards, and the guards are participating because, you know, we're paying the guards salaries too as taxpayers. But I guess maybe a lot of people don't look at that or don't think it's a big deal, Derek. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking that on the most part, when people look at what's going on with prisons in particular. They like say, well, we need them. I'm glad there. I mean, I'm glad there's a place for rapists to go, child molesters to go, and you know, that kind of thing. So a lot of people are pretty close-minded to things, and they like possibly pretend that it doesn't exist or don't care about it existing, and they could care less about a prisoner in there impregnating the guards as long as it doesn't interfere with their life. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
There's a lot of people that are probably in thinking that without the prisons, we'd be in a worst-case scenario because we have a lot more people out running around doing this stuff that they're locked up for, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would think more on an economic level, people who don't really have that kind of money and that kind of thing. And I mean, of course, the people who are making six figures a year and that kind of thing, it's not a damper on them, you know, when worried about paying. They're just glad the person's not coming knocking on their door and robbing them or raping their daughter or
absolutely,
whatever the case may be, you know. So that's kind of an economic issue, and that's what it's becoming more so than black and white anymore. It's more economic,
mm-hmm.
economic situation now where, you know, when it comes down to money, that's what it's all about. You know, people who are not making very much money, yeah, I definitely would be, and really it should be anyway, regardless of what the money is. You know, it's about what the morale and the morale, you know, of the situation is, and just taking into consideration right and wrong. I mean, you know, it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong for being there doing what he's doing, and then, you know, of course the taxpayers are going to be paying, you know. But I guess it's to each his own now, Tasha, with the way things are. You know, it's just like, you know, the thing that happened overseas with these Christians, they had a mass beheading of all these people. Think about that, stuff like that. I mean, I guess people think there's bigger problems going on in the world to worry about what's going on in the penal system. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
whatever happened in the penal system, let it happen. That's them. And then there, I mean, I'm worried about walking down the street and somebody who's gotten contacted by ISIL is out to behead me, walking up to the bank and going to the cellar, you know, or whatever. So I mean, you know, with me having OCD, I mean, when I walk out the door, I'm looking around,
mm-hmm.
looking around,
mm-hmm.
you know,
like the one
comic says, and making sure that I'm watching my every step, every move. To a point where, you know, I think I'm borderline paranoid now. I mean, it's like, and that's just me being a person with OCD and then being careful on top of that, though, more so than anything
uh-huh.
else, because we all have to be careful. We all have to watch our back. We all have to watch our loved ones' back, especially our kids. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't just leave your kid out anymore playing because, you know, you leave him out there for 2 minutes, the next thing you know, he's gone. She's gone. You know,
right,
and that's happening.
Right.
There's child abductions going on. There's female abductions. You know, you catch stuff on surveillance. People don't care about surveillance. I mean, we got nutcases out there who could care less whether they're being watched on camera or someone is filming them on a phone anymore. You know, it's just a mentality issue. There's so many situations going on with mentality anymore that you cannot trust anything at any time. You know, it's you got to be so careful. So careful.
Absolutely, because the thing is, a lot of these criminals want to be seen online, you know, on the TV. They want to be caught. So a surveillance camera is, you know, if they're committing a suicide, they, like you said, they can care less. That's no big deal for them. But you know, Derek, you were reading my mind because that was the other thing that one of the other things I wanted to talk about was the situation with ISIS and, you know, Christians around the world and just not just Christians, but innocent people being killed and beheaded by this ISIS group. I just, you know, it's very scary. It's getting out of control and, you know, it does. It makes you think twice when you go outside. Like, you know, what? Because right now we see it. It's overseas. We see it on the news, and we see, you know, what's happening. It's not in our backyard, so to speak. However, for anyone, you know, like myself, who travels around the country, you know, doing ministry, it's a scary thing because when you think not just travels around the country, travels around the world doing ministry, you know, it's a scary thing, because when you think that, when you think you're safe, you see something else on the news. I think it was, I think I saw it either this morning or last night, where the ISIS had, and it may be what you were talking about, Derek, where ISIS had beheaded and burned to death, like, I think it was 40-plus people, you know, that they were holding captive. I just, you know, it just, it boggles my mind, and it's, it, we're living in very scary times, and people may say, gosh, do you guys ever talk about anything positive? But we're trying to kind of talk through these things and figure, you know, figure it out.
We're trying to give peace of mind to people and an assurance that, you know, not everything is going to be cut and dry in a bad, negative way, but, you know, this brings on the idea that looking at what's going on in the world, we have to take advantage of and be thankful for the positiveness of things and be the best persons we can be towards others, and hopefully those things will come back in return, you know, in a reciprocating form. So, you know, we're here to bring insight to things, and, you know, yeah, if it's negative, it is. You know, I mean, no one can walk around here thinking that nothing's going on in the world and hiding their eyes from it. I mean, it's so blatant. It's so obvious. And, you know, anytime you pick up a newspaper, anytime you turn on the news station, you're going to hear something outrageously crazy that's going on anywhere in the world. And even here on our own soil, we've got people who are being brainwashed by what's going on overseas, that they're trying and doing stuff right here in the United States. So it doesn't matter whether you're here or whether you're overseas or whatever, because anything can happen anytime, anywhere, to anyone, and you just have to be so careful. And we have to talk about it. We have to blog about it. However, bring some insight and bring some healing about, you know, and saving the next person, and thinking that they may try to do something, hopefully reach people who may be a listener, or someone who has a family member who's a listener that they can reach out, who's on drugs or who's doing this or that and the other. So we're doing a service and helping a healing process of whatever the negative is going on in the world, you know.
Absolutely. I agree. I tend to think so as well, Derek. And, you know, speaking of doing a service, I want to implore our listeners to not purchase this T-shirt that I saw on the news this morning. I don't know if you saw it. I was on the treadmill and I was watching Robin Mead this morning, Derek. And there's a T-shirt, and the first thing that came to my mind when I saw this was our young black men and just our black community in general. But there's a T-shirt, a man in, I believe it was Denver, Colorado, or somewhere in Colorado, has made a T-shirt with a picture of a gun and a sling on the side of it, and the gun, it looks like it's like real world or real life art. So, and he's saying that he put a disclaimer out and said that, you know, warning people that, you know, if the police see you from like 20 feet away, they could think that you have a gun on your side, on your person. And so it made me immediately I thought about our black men and our black community, because number one, I believe that we're going to start seeing our youngsters wearing these shirts. I really do, because they're going to think it's a fashion statement. And then number two, I believe that it is going to be used as a vehicle to further these the police brutality that we see in our community. And I don't like to put that out into the negative statement into the atmosphere, but it's the first thing that came to my mind. I thought about our youth, and what in the world why would they make a T-shirt with a picture on it that looks like a gun?
#MoonWalkingWorld.
Hashtag moonwalking world. I mean, would you wear a shirt like that?
If I did, I'd wear a coat over it. You would never see the shirt.
Right. Yeah, I just, you know, it bothers me.
I use it as an undershirt. Probably as an undershirt if I had to have to wear it. You know what I mean? But that's crazy. You know, who does that? Somebody
who has
no concept of what really shouldn't be happening, you know? That's what that is.
Yeah, I don't understand it. It really bothered me because I thought, you know, I could just see this being on the news and some young teenager walking down the street or getting out of his car or coming out of the store looking like he has a gun in plain view and gets shot.
Yeah, it's just asking for it, you know. It's just asking for it, you know. And I don't know. It's a stunning thing to think about, you know. What, you know, you look at something and it's just so ridiculous that it's so surreal, you know, that this can really be happening in many instances.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, you know? That's what it really is. It really is.
Yeah, it is. It is. So those were the things that I wanted to talk about. On a more positive note, I guess, Bobby Christina's boyfriend got a tattoo in her honor yesterday. Did you hear about that, Derek?
No, I hadn't. You know, as a matter of fact, Becky came in and pretty much told me that she, I guess on lunch break, she was listening to it. I pretty much decided, because, I mean, I get so emotional when I think about this little girl. And I say little girl even though she's an adult now, but she's always been the little girl about Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston to me that was so innocent and so not being able to do anything about who she was and who she was born
mm-hmm.
to, that it just makes me feel so sad about what's going on with her. I pretty much have not been listening, but anyway, like I was saying, Becky came in and said, did you hear about Bobby Christina? And I said, no, what? You know, and she said that they decided that they're going to go ahead and just let her go, you know, because now her kid, her organs are shutting down. Ventilator or whatever, you know, that's keeping her alive is can only do so much. But now all of, you know, and this is, brings me back to what happened with my dad, you know,
uh-huh.
his organs shut down before he passed. And it's so sad to think about this situation with her. So that's the last I'd heard about it, that, you know, that her organs are shutting down and they're going to pretty much allow her to pass.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever, on her own, I guess, they take off of the assisted mechanism that's keeping her alive. So that's the last I've heard. I'm just so fraught and so sad of the subject for me to even try to keep up with anymore, Tasha.
Yeah, it is very, it's very sad. And she's been on life support now. It's been a couple of weeks, I think. So, you know, there have been some miracles that have happened, and people have come out of a coma after years of being on a coma, but that's rare. So it'll be interesting to see what the family decides or what God would decide is really the ultimate.
Right.
He's the ultimate decision maker here. And
exactly.
Really, you know, excuse me, I just wonder if Bobby Christina wants to remain in this world. I think I talked about that. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Or if she's just ready to go, you know, go on spiritually and in her mind, be with her mom. So we shall see how that turns out.
Well, it's not a very good sign when the organs start to shut down. So that's probably, you know, because more things tend to happen when that happens, and it makes it more of a dire situation. So it's like, you know, I hate to say it, but she's probably better off being, you know, passing on and not going through any more of what she's going through. I mean, who knows? I mean, hopefully she's not feeling and knowing and being conscious of the pain, if there's any pain going on in there, because otherwise she's just laying there suffering, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's my idea. I mean, no one deserves to suffer and go through agony and pain, and there's nothing that's going to be, you know, no outlook that's going to be positive, you know, in the future for that person. So I'm just hoping that she's not going through any undue pain by persisting or continuing to be in her state now. And like I say, with the organs shutting down, that couldn't be good at all as far as her feeling. You know, I wouldn't think. But I don't know with the brain waves or whatever, being able to pick up the feeling of pain or whatever, you know, that's
sure.
something, because I'm not a doctor to know that, but I just hope she's not suffering. I really do.
Yeah, I hope not either. You know, one would never know. Obviously, we never know what's going on the other side. So, but we've got a lot of social media interaction today. I posted the message on Facebook as promised, Derek, and the article about the gentleman getting 37 and a half years has sparked some conversation. Somebody said, wow, just crazy. So, yeah, you know, it's just crazy. 37.5 years. My response to that was that that we talked about it on the show, and most inmates probably don't know that it's against the law to be on social media. And so also want to give a shout out to Melissa Lucerno, listening to us from, I believe it's Lubbock, Texas, said that she's enjoying Tuesday Talk today. So shout out to Melissa. Thank you so much for listening to us today. Derek and I appreciate you all tuning in. We enjoy just talking about current real world events. Huh, Derek?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And we want to. Have you gotten anything, Tasha, as far as anyone bringing up any particular topics that they would request us to talk about? I mean, that's something that I would like to put out there once more. That if anybody out there has any particular topic that they're interested in hearing us talk about, to hit us up and let us know, because you know we're wanting to do whatever is necessary to make this a better world, and talking about stuff and getting it out there and getting people to interact with us as far as calling in and listening as well. So that's something I wanted to want to pass along once again, and letting people know that they can initiate a conversation if they want us to pick up on a particular topic as well.
Absolutely, and you know what I will do, Derek, is post that on my page and let people know that if they have, you know, something, a specific topic that they like for us to talk about, to please send it on the Live, Love, Laugh page or to inbox either one of us, and we will talk about it. So
that reminds me. Well, yeah. I wanted to go back to the Bobby Christina thing, because I know you started off saying something about that the boyfriend had gotten a tattoo in Bobby Christina's honor. What did we find out, if anything, or had you heard any more about as far as that relationship? Is it still something that, you know, I mean, for him to go out and do a tattoo, is that something that he's doing in possible being guilty conscious because he's probably put her in that position and now he's feeling remorse about it? Because, you know, they're saying that there's some things going on with that now, that guy's, first of all, they were not married.
Right.
Know? And then we're talking about, you know, that there were some issues possibly concerning there being some domestic violence situations going on between them two. And you know, there may have been a thing where he was trying to use her and take advantage of her $20 million estate that was left.
Oh, wow.
Did you know about that? I mean, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, if you go through the grocery line, you know, you see the tabloid magazines, like, you can't really go by that, but you see on some of the covers of all these magazines at the checkout about they're fighting over Bobby Christina's $20 million estate now, or inheritance, or whatever. So
wow.
I'm thinking, you know, wow, this guy is now putting a tattoo on himself. What is that about, you know, and what are the underlying factors of what really took place? We still need to figure out why and how did she wind up in that position, in the tub like that? And, of course, there was supposedly some body injuries that need to be explained as well, other than her that supposedly didn't take place from her actually falling in the tub with her. I mean, I'm talking about maybe battle wounds, so to speak, possibly,
yeah.
You know, from being in a physical altercation with somebody, you know?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that came up recently, I saw it on the news, is that they're investigating a couple of things. One of the things was that she was in a car accident a couple of days before she was found. Did you hear about that?
No, that I didn't hear that piece. I really didn't.
She was in supposedly or reportedly in a car accident right here in Roswell, which is not far. It's a couple cities over from Alpharetta. And the Roswell Police Department reported that she was in a car accident. She hit another car head on, and the person who was in her car was injured, and then the driver of the other car was injured as well. So that I find that it's interesting that that was kept secret, you know, until recently, because that happened January 27th, and you know, if that were to have happened to another star, it would have been on the news like right away, like that same next day, it would have been all over the news. So I'm surprised that it wasn't, you know, on the news then. And then, of course, what you mentioned, that there's reports of possible domestic violence. So I don't know. Maybe you may be onto something there, Derek. We'll see over the coming days what comes of the tattoo and the situation. I know that they're still saying that he's not welcome at the hospital, so we shall see.
Right. Well, you know, there's odds between he and Bobby Brown as far as, I think, many issues that we may not know about until it comes out, you know. Supposedly that, you know, Bobby Brown was not liking the fact that people were thinking that they were married, I guess, you know, and that kind of stuff, you know, and supposedly they got into a shoving match at one point at the hospital and arguing and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's just a crazy thing to even try to think about what really is going on with that, or really what has taken place in that situation, you know.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, look at this poor girl who's basically on her deathbed because of it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And, you know, the only thing that I think about when they talk about him not being welcome at the hospital, I think about how, you know, there were reports that Bobby Brown wasn't welcomed at Whitney Houston's funeral, and he wasn't liked by her family and all, you know, whatever was going on. But I just, you know, I would hate to see him do the same thing to this young man, because regardless of whether they were at odds or not, this is someone that she obviously cared for and was spending a considerable amount of time with. So just a bad situation all the way around.
Yeah, well, I pray for her, and she's definitely in my prayers every day and every night that she's not suffering, first of all, and that, you know, I'm hoping that the thing that we were talking about, the possibility that she's touched base with Whitney during her time that she supposedly crossed over before they brought her back, that maybe if with God's willingness to bring her back from this, she'll be okay with it, you know, and be a better person, better all the way around, and being very discretional in her moves and everything she does from here out. If that miracle happens, you know, if that miracle happens where she's able to, but like I say, with the kidneys failing, or whether not just the kidney, but I take it most organs possible, you know, and I think Becky had mentioned something about that they were looking at talking about, organ donations before that take place, but so that was something that they had already kind of initiated in thinking that she wasn't going to make it because of the shutting down of the organs. So, you know, it's just a fraught thing, and you know, we can only pray, and we can only hope that things come out okay for her, as well as everything else in the world. You know, the situation overseas with the people of being innocently killed and rounded up and like animals and taken out. And there was a thing that that they had on Facebook was immediately taken down after the fact. You know, some things pop up there, and if you catch them just in time before they get flagged, where they lined up, and I saw my brother just happened to inbox me it, I mean, you know, and share it with me because he feels the same way as we do about things and how, but he just shared where these ISIL terrorists had lined up like 8 or 9, I can't remember who they were, but 8 or 9 men and had guns to the back of their heads, just blew their heads, you know, and then at the end, they just shot like 1,000 to 1,500 rounds at the bodies as they laid on the ground.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, just to making it as the epitome of the worst case scenario vision that you can do, you know?
Yeah, that's terrible.
We gotta straighten our own lives up individually to know that things are happening around us like that we shouldn't have the audacity to even be any kind of way than we should. When stuff like that is going around, be kind to your neighbor, be kind to your loved ones, be kind to yourself. I mean, you got to be kind to yourself before you can be kind to anybody else. You know, we got a lot of self-hate going on. We got people who
care
less about themselves, which is going to make it even worse for somebody they come in contact with. We've got to wake up. Just have to wake up.
Yeah. It's a lot of craziness going on in the world. A lot of craziness. We got to stay prayed up, Derek.
Exactly. And, you know, I do. I mean, I can't pray enough, you know, about things and you know, with my personal life and the lives of others, because I feel that we're all here for a purpose, and it's not to be the derogatory way that it's been for any of us.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, how about we go out on something a little lighter today, Derek? How about some... You know what I'm
going to
request, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I was thinking about that. And like I said, I wanted to start off with the Allstate guy because I saw him on the show, what was it, Dear White People. Did you ever get to see that movie?
No.
It was pretty good. It was a pretty good movie. It's about a college situation where they had some things going on, racial tensions, and the guy from Allstate, I can't think of his name, he's an Allstate spokesman. But he was on there, you know, in his deep voice, and he's like, when he's in character, you just can't separate him from his Allstate commercial. And he, you know, he was like a dean. He played part of a dean in this movie, and his son was a student. And then he's like, I thought I told you not to do that. You're just making me feel like, and I'm gonna take your insurance away, and you will not be covered by Allstate. You know, it just made me think that I couldn't separate that, but, you know, it's kind of weird, you know, when you see somebody who's pretty much typecast and the things like that, but anyway, you know, I was going to ask you, so when is this weather going to be letting up for you guys? Because, you know, I feel for you guys out there and not being able to know how to drive on that stuff and be, you know, because I know y'all ain't got that ice and stuff out there too much to be having no kind of way of knowing how to handle it. I know, I mean, I was in Missouri for 35 years, and I became accustomed to knowing how to slur, you know, ski it down and be slaloming and not run into nothing. But you know, when are they saying your weather's going to get better?
You know, interestingly, Derek, it's going to be 63 degrees here on Sunday. In just a few days, it's going to be 63 degrees. So, yeah, it's just kind of the weather does what it wants to do here.
Yeah, I guess. And that's, you know, and it says that's been the case. People are having unusual weather in every area of the U.S. now, you know, at certain times it's hotter than it's ever been, it's colder than it's ever been, and like I say, when I was in Phoenix, I thought I was going to freeze up in Phoenix. I'm like, wait a minute, I had to look around and see a Phoenix sign somewhere, because I knew I was in Minnesota. Like, where, you know, it felt like I took a light jacket, a leather jacket, and I stepped out one night without it to go down and do the festivities down around the, you know, Phoenix Stadium there, you know, where the Super Bowl was taking place. And I got to a point where I was telling Tim, I said, man, he wanted to run around there taking pictures and doing this and that, you know, to put on his pages, you know, his actor's page and stuff. I'm not going to say, yeah, man, I think we're going to do some drive-by pictures. You know, I'm like, here, man, slow down. Stop behind me, man. I can't stop. I got somebody blowing behind me. I say, well, all right, man. All right, count to three and then go out, and then I'm going to roll the window down and get a snap of because he wanted these signs, you know, the Super Bowl signs. I'm like, yeah, we got to do it from inside the car for real.
That's too funny.
It was cold.
Funny. Well, Derek, our hour has gone by very quickly, and I want to just let the listeners know, next week we're going to talk about a very special and very interesting case. A little girl by the name of Kaylee, special needs young lady. You know, special needs children are near and dear to our hearts, both Derek and I. And this young girl was murdered actually by her father. And we're going to talk about that next week. And we're going to just talk about, again, what makes people tick, what makes people snap. And unfortunately, a young 4-year-old special needs child lost her life. And so we're gonna talk about that next week. So, anything else you want to add before we depart, Derek?
Well, no, I just that I had a 1-day craving since we wasn't on yesterday, but I'm okay now. I'm good now. I mean, I'm going through withdrawal. You know, that separation anxiety thing. You know, we talking about that separation anxiety thing. You know.
We don't want you having no separation anxiety, Derek. So we'll make sure that we, you know, we'll have to figure out how we're going to do it next week because I'll be traveling for a few days next week, myself and the wifey. So we'll figure Tuesday out. We'll make it happen, though.
As long as we can fit it in there, I mean, you know, we can't be skipping no more weeks. You know, we can do it. There's 7 days we can fit it in. We can fit it in one of them days now.
Maybe
Tuesday talk.
No,
welcome to Tuesday Talk Friday.
Tuesday Talk Friday. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, hey, Derek, thank you so much for joining me today. You're an awesome co-host. And thank you to all of our listeners and all of our social media folks who have been corresponding with us via social media and listening to us online. And to those of you who have called in and listened, we appreciate you. We see you. And we love you for continuing to support Tuesday Talk with Dr. Parker Meredith and Derek Shelton. Until next week, have a fabulous week and stay warm, whatever you do. God bless.
It might seem crazy.